Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. We'll talk about the Commodores coming to Starkville in mid-November. Aria Gerson joins us from the Tennessean up there in Nashville, covers Commodore football, baseball. By the way, I want to give you a shout-out. Your tweet about the war for all of the transfer, that was really good information, good reporting there. I was like, look at that. I was like, she did a lot of work on this. So that was really cool.
Thank you.
Let's talk football, though, and I feel like we got like a little mini Belichick-Brady thing going to happen here with Vanderbilt. You know, the last 2 years, they've been really good. Clark Lee has done a good job there, but I think a lot of people want to give the credit to Pavia. If it is the coach side of things and it's Clark Lee, why is that? Why is this program going to continue to be successful now that Diego Pavia is gone?
Yeah, well, I think it's impossible to not take a little bit of a setback post-Pavia. But I do believe that Vanderbilt can continue to make it to bowl games at the very least with Clark Lee. And I think that having those 2 years of success with Diego Pavia has given Vanderbilt a proof of concept. It's no longer seen as being, oh, this is like the worst program in the SEC. Nobody wants to go there. It's now seen as kind of almost a cool place to be. So there's more recruits that want to go there. They don't have to overpay for transfers anymore. You know, the first offseason when Pavia came in, they were having to pay transfers more than what they were worth because otherwise they didn't want to go to Vanderbilt. That's no longer the case. Their recruiting has improved. They're getting more local talent to stay home. Kids from Nashville are wanting to go to Vanderbilt. And I think that's a key for any college football program, especially one in the SEC, is to get local talent to stay home. They've been smart with the transfer portal in terms of, you know, having kind of a really unique offensive system and getting players that kind of fit that system. So while I don't think that they will win 10 games again in 2026, I do think that that's not a program that's going to go away and they're not going to go back to being in the cellar of the SEC.
And you mentioned recruits. And obviously when we talk about Vanderbilt this year, we have to kind of start the discussion with Jared Curtis. I guess the first question is, he is going to be the starting quarterback, right?
I believe so. They haven't officially named it, but I have a hard time seeing him not being the starting quarterback.
So the question becomes, what kind of athlete is this kid going to be? You know, we think about these last couple of years with Pavia. He made so many, you know, outrageous plays. Is this guy more of a, you know, a traditional quarterback, or does he have that athleticism and I guess that flair for the dramatic that Pavia did?
Yeah, so Jared Curtis, think about Jared Curtis, you know, Pavia is small. Jared Curtis is big. So he can run. But, you know, when you look at Jared Curtis, who's 6'3 and 230 pounds, his style as a runner is more of kind of like a physical, like a bruiser, more than like Pavia, who was more of a dancing away from contact type of guy. You kind of have to be smaller to be that type of runner. So Curtis can run, but he's a different sort of runner than what Pavia was. But Curtis can really throw the ball. You know, he's got a great arm strength. You know, everyone says it's like NFL arm talent. You know, I don't know if the consistency is going to be there immediately because it's not with a lot of true freshmen. But, you know, the arm talent is there and the physicality is there. And it's definitely a different style of play from what Pavia had. I don't see Curtis being somebody who's going to, you know, do that thing where he scrambles around for 20 seconds, escapes three tackles that Pavia did. But Curtis could throw the ball, you know, 40 yards downfield with ease. So it's just a different type of skill set compared to what Pavia had, in my opinion. But I think it's one that could be almost as fun to watch, just in a different way.
Outside of Pavia, I think the most crucial guy for the Commodores replace is Eli Stowers. What a fantastic tight end he was over the past couple of years and just a real weapon in this offense. Is the tight end going to be as big a role without Stowers this year for the Commodores?
I think it will probably not have as big of a role. Sours is pretty impossible to replace, and they brought in multiple tight ends from the portal, several intriguing options. You know, they brought in a Division II transfer. They brought in a guy who they're trying to convert from quarterback to tight end, which is the same thing that Sours did.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of those guys really hit, and maybe, you know, you find your next Sours, because Sours wasn't, you know, he was a quarterback before he was a tight end. So he wasn't necessarily seen as like, oh, this is the best guy in the portal when he transferred. But, you know, I do think naturally they're probably going to focus a little less on tight ends than they did a year ago, especially in the receiving game. Vandy likes to run two tight end sets where one tight end is a blocker and one is a receiver. I think they'll still continue to have tight ends involved as blockers. That's a really important part of their scheme. But probably more of the targets will go to receivers compared to tight ends, just without Sours.
And then, you know, from the receiver position, bringing back Junior Sherrill is obviously a big piece for the Commodores. But on the either side of him, you know, at those perimeter wide receivers, not a lot of proven production there. Who's going to step up and be that next guy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's not immediately clear for us right now either. You know, a lot of guys kind of sat out the spring a little bit and weren't, you know, heavily involved to kind of avoid injury. But I think that Tristan Brown, he's a third year player. I think that he could end up having a much bigger role. I think that Owen Cabell, who's a freshman who was committed to Alabama, Vandy flipped him from Alabama on signing day. He's a local player. I think he could have a big role. And for, you know, a bigger tight end, Ja'Cory Thomas, who transferred from Old Dominion, is probably their top transfer this year. So he's kind of a bigger, more physical receiver. And then another name to watch is Bryson Coleman, who is 6'5". I mean, he was a former tight end, and he was injured a lot and didn't really see the field his first couple years. They moved him to receiver, and I'm interested to see how that goes, because that might be a more natural fit for him, since he kind of lacked the physicality for tight end and was, like I said, had trouble staying healthy. So that might be somebody who could contribute if he's able to get the injuries behind him.
Defense, obviously, is Clark Lee's bread and butter, and has been, you know, going back to his days at Notre Dame. This is a defense that returns a lot of production from a season ago. How good can this defense be for the Commodores?
Yeah, I think the defense will be improved from a year ago. They returned a lot of players. I think in Clark Lee's whole tenure, it's really been the linebackers that have kind of been the heart and soul of the defense. And they have Brian Longwell back, who was one of their most used linebackers a year ago. They have Nick Rinaldi back, who's kind of a pass rushing specialist. They have Bryce Cowan back, who's always had a really high upside. And, you know, they've added some good pieces in the portal. I think the most intriguing piece they added in the portal was Ricardo Jones, who was a safety at Clemson, who was a third team all ACC selection a year ago. So he's kind of a player that has that sort of high level experience that Vanderbilt often hasn't had on their defense. And the safeties were an issue at times last year, where they struggled sometimes with tackling. They allowed a lot of big plays, and I think that this could help with that. I also think that getting Issa Wataha back, he's their nose tackle, has huge size. He's listed as 6'7", 315 pounds, and it's always had a lot of potential, but he missed almost all of last season because he was injured. So now he's a fifth-year player, and now that he's healthy, I think he could really make a big impact on the defensive line, and the defensive line returns a lot of their players as well. So I definitely think it's a defense that could be improved from last year.
On September the 19th, you know that the college football world is going to be focused on Oxford, Mississippi when they play LSU. But that's a big day for Vanderbilt. They play NC State. They host them there in Nashville. And is that the game where we're going to find out what this Vanderbilt team really is? Week three, are we going to know, yes, they can continue to be successful, or no, they've taken a step back?
Potentially. I think that, you know, being able to beat a team like NC State at home is really important for Vanderbilt this year. But I also think that, you know, there's just so much volatility now in college football scheduling. Like last year, people thought that Vanderbilt had like the most difficult schedule that has ever been created. When you looked at their SEC schedule like a year in advance. And then what it turned out to be is that it actually kind of was not difficult enough. because part of the reason they didn't make the CFP was because they only had two teams on their schedule, their SEC schedule, that were like legitimate contenders, and they
Right.
lost to both of them. And every other team on their schedule was no better than like 8-4.
Yeah.
And so that was not what people thought of their schedule, beforehand. So if they lose to NC State, I'm not saying that like they have no chance of making a bowl game, because we don't really know how these schedules shake out. And Vanderbilt in 2024, they lost to Georgia State, and then they still made it to a bowl game. They still beat Alabama. So I don't think that that is the inflection point per se, but I do think that if they put up a really good performance against NC State and they maybe blow out NC State the way that they kind of blew out Virginia Tech last year, then that would be a really good sign as far as how good they're going to be going forward.
Who's a player we haven't mentioned yet that you've got your eye on for Vanderbilt this year that could be a big factor for them?
Yeah, so this is kind of a deep cut, but Clinton
Bring it, yeah.
Azabuike, he's
Okay.
an offensive lineman, and he has not played for Vanderbilt. He transferred last year from Northern Arizona, which is an FCS school. But the idea is that he was kind of a developmental guy who could play a bigger role this year. He's 6'8 and 310 pounds, and he's kind of newer to football. He's from Lagos, Nigeria. And if he works out as like an offensive lineman, Vandy's built their offensive line usually on like graduate transfers, and they're players that are like pretty good, but maybe don't have a ton of upside, don't have that kind of like future NFL player type of upside. And I think that he does have that kind of upside. It's just a matter that we have not seen him play at all at Vanderbilt or in the SEC. That's somebody, but if that's a player that works out, it could kind of take their offensive line to a new level, in my opinion.
That is a deep cut. You did good on that one. I had to search the depth chart. Like, where's this guy? Okay, we'll see how it goes. Arya, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.